I'm doing great.
All right. We're joined by the driver of the number 34, K-Love Radio Ford, from Glendale, Arizona, Michael McDowell. So, Michael, just how special is it to kind of race at home in front of all your friends and family?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's very cool, especially to have your family here and friends. And I've been coming to this racetrack since I was a kid and watch, you know, Copper World Classic here and Tony Stewart and Mike Bliss and guys race sprint cars and midgets and Indy cars and stock cars. So it's got a lot of history for me for sure.
All right, we're going to open it up to questions and we'll lead with Wolfgang.
One question on you. Okay.
My friend from Germany.
Yes, thank you very much for remembering.
Yes, sir.
Michael, you're now with a two-car team compared to last year's. Is it much easier now when you can share information with your co-driver?
Yeah, it's great, especially today because David's faster than me, so it's nice to go figure out why, to look at data, and just be able to look at setups and you know, our cars are coming from the same shop, from the same plates, and so that we know that everything correlates. So we struggled a little bit in that first practice, so we'll be able to lean on David, and for me, just to be able to look at his data and look at what he does is definitely a big help.
Over to Lee.
Did you ever think when you were an instructor at Bondurant that you'd be in the big show one day?
Well, I don't want to lie to you. You know, when I was a kid, I had very high expectations, and I really did think I would make it. And then once I got here and realized how difficult it is and how humbling the sport is, I look back and I think about my younger self, how crazy I was. I mean, I was just out of my mind. So it's very, you know, it's something that I take very seriously, that I'm one of 40 on a race weekend. I know there's a lot of talented guys out there, probably more talented than I am, that would love to be in this spot. So it's not something I take for granted. And you know, I did a lot of hot laps here in some Cadillac CTSs with four people in the cars and doing all kinds of fun stuff. And, you know, working at Bondurant was, it's a race car driver's dream. I mean, it gives you an opportunity to hone your skills, to make a little bit of money and a flexible schedule. And Bob was very influential in my career, very helpful. And so it's, you know, it's definitely something I look back at those times, you know, working at Bondurant were great memories.
Does the challenge of, you know, finally getting here and now starting to have success and seeing things go in that direction make it even that more rewarding?
You know, it does, especially because 3 or 4 years ago, you know, eight years ago, I thought I was done, right? And so to still be here is something that's amazing. But, you know, the last 2 years for me to actually see performance gains. And, you know, last year was my first year running full time in 9 seasons in the Cup Series. And so to be able to put together a solid season and to come back and start off this year pretty well, yeah, it's very rewarding, especially for all those times that I came here and start and parked and only ran 30 laps and was just trying to stay in the sport and try to keep a job and provide for my family and to kind of go through those 4 or 5 years of just really struggling, trying to figure out, why am I even here? What am I doing? To now have the experience to understand the cars, know the racetracks, and to race competitively is something that's very rewarding.
Chris,
NineCatchFence.com. Hey, last week you guys didn't have the finish that you were hoping for, but you guys showed a lot of potential with the speed that you had all throughout the weekend and even into the race. Is that encouraging for the bigger tracks moving forward with you in front row?
For sure. Last weekend we had a piece of debris come through the radiator and unfortunately took us out of the race. But, you know, running in the top 10 in practice, qualifying in the top 15, racing in the top 20, being on a lead lap, those were all really good signs of our speed at the mile and a halfs. And so felt really good about that. And even though we didn't get to finish, I mean, we finished 37th because the, you know, the failure we had, we left there pretty excited about where we're at as a race team and where we could potentially be. So a lot of great things are happening right now at front row. You know, to get both cars in the second round doesn't sound like a lot, but last year, I think that, you know, between the two cars, they were only able to do it 5 or 6 times. So, you know, we're going on our third week in a row here where we could potentially move on to the second round. And last week, we were close to moving on to the third round. So it's just showing all the hard work that everybody's put in back at the shop, and to have a little bit of speed is always nice, and you just got to keep pushing, keep fighting.
Reed.
Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. To follow up on that, everybody has remarked on the performance gains at Front Row this year. How do you account for that? I know you're new to the team, but I mean, there's really been a noticeable difference in performance.
Yeah, I don't know how to account for it because I wasn't there last year. So I really lean on David, and he has a great understanding of that. I think it's a combination of our partnership with Ford and Ford Performance, putting more resources into our team and allowing us to have more access to engineering support, and all those things are really helpful. And then the partnership and alliance with Roush Fenway has been growing over the years, and I think it took a few years just to work out how do we take in and process all this information. It's like drinking from a fire hose. You don't know what to do. I think now that we are in a situation where we understand the process and how it works and what we need to do and how we process the information is seems to be pretty smooth. So all in all, I think it's just a slow progression. And I think that, a little bit in the off season is just bringing in some fire, of like, hey, let's do this. We're not okay where we're at, and how are we going to get better? And everybody pushing really hard in that direction. And then David and I pushing really hard and pushing each other. And Bob Jenkins is really leading that of, he doesn't want to run 30th every weekend. And so he's put the resources behind it to help improve it. And so far we've done that, and hopefully we can keep that momentum going.
I'm going to go over to Sam.
Sam Brennan, ASU Blaze Radio. Obviously, you've grown up around this track, raced on it a ton of times, and now we're kind of seeing all the changes come into light. What is your opinion on all these changes, and do you think it's kind of bittersweet, or how are you reacting to it?
No, I think it's great. And the reason I do is that this is a great racetrack. It's always produced great racing. Even before the reconfiguration, it was, always a great racetrack for the fans and for the drivers. But I also think about this place is always packed. We always have tons of fans, tons of campers. And there's some tracks that we go to that aren't the case anymore. And so when I heard that they were getting the facelift and they were getting the remodel and getting the funds to do it, I felt like it was well-deserved. I think Brian and his team here have kept the stands full and the campgrounds full in tough markets and tough economies throughout the last, 10 years that I've been doing this. It's always been steady here. And I think they deserve it, and it's going to be great for the fans. I think that the interaction and just the access and the coolness of it being new and fresh, and there's a lot of great things happening. So that'll help keep fans in the stands, for another 10 years.
Mike Hembry,
USA Today. When you see a guy run like Harvick has the last couple of weeks, leading so many laps, is your first thought, they found something nobody else has? Is that a driver's thinking?
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious to see that Stuart Haas has found something. They found Kevin Harvick. I mean, he's just good. I mean, it's just the way it is. He's been good his whole career, and he's very, very good at those tracks where there's tire fall off and there's bumps, and he's got a rhythm and he's got a knack to knowing what he needs. And obviously they're on their game right now. And, when guys get like that, they're tough to beat, and confidence and momentum inside the team and inside the driver, it's only going to get worse. So, somebody's going to have to, knock the wind out of their sail here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, or they're going to go on a roll for a while.
Go over to Greg now.
Greg Moore, Arizona Republic.
Hey, how's
good to meet you. So you talked about the facelift and the fan experience. How's that going to affect you as a driver when they move the start-finish line, and how that affects how you attack the dog leg, these sorts of things?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a change for sure. How it's all going to play out, I'm not really positive of that. When we first got to this reconfiguration and we all saw the dog leg and we saw all that, asphalt down there, we're like, nobody will go down there, right? And then first restart, they're 17 wide. So you just never know until you get here. As far as moving it and I think that it's going to change the way that the starts are for sure. Turn three is very tricky, but more than anything is just you're going to be getting through the gears and you're going to have cars still in the turn as we come to the green. So that's going to change, you know, the back half of the field a little bit too. So, but you know, drivers, teams, we just adapt. I mean, it's not a huge difference for us, a huge deal, but, you know, it's fun to mix things up a little bit too.
Any more questions for Michael?
Come on, Gluck. You got something, right? Airbnb.
Man over here.
So to expand on your thoughts of racing on your hometown track, what would it mean to you to have a strong finish here on Sunday?
Yeah, I just want to run good. I've always sucked here. I don't know why. Man, it's like it's your hometown race, and you're like, come on, you know, get it together. But you know, early in my career, I had some good runs here in the Xfinity cars, and I had a few good runs qualifying, and then the last 5 years, I've just been really bad here. So I'm not sure the rhythm of what it takes. I've been studying Harvick films. Hopefully that'll help me. But, yeah, it's, you know, some tracks just go really well. You know, I go to Pocono, and it's like, wow, where did all that speed come from? And I come here, and it's been a struggle. So it's not the track's fault. It's not even my team's fault. This is a place that I just haven't had the best runs at. But, you know, I look at that as a challenge. You know, I don't just go, oh, I'm not good at Phoenix. I just go, okay, I got to study more data, study more film. I got to change things up. If you do what you've always done, and you don't change anything, then you're going to get the same result. So just trying to get a fresh look at it, and you know, obviously a teammate and a new team helps that.
Jeff
Gluck from jeffgluck.com. So you said you're studying film. Is this like...
Are you going to ask about data?
No, I was going to ask about the film itself. Like, yeah. Do you go on YouTube and watch this, or do you have access to in-car... Like,
I can't tell you all that information.
Okay.
No, I think that everybody can access the races and qualifying and everything from YouTube. The teams and manufacturers are recording all that stuff too. So as far as the in-car stuff goes, it really just depends if you get lucky enough to find something online. Sometimes guys will actually, you know, take video of it and put it on YouTube, like people watching it, and so you can study some things like that. If it's inside a manufacturer, then you might get access to it depending on who it is and what team it is, and it's kind of changed throughout the years. It used to be you didn't get to see anything, and now NASCAR allows you to have more access to the videos to watch. So yeah,
one more with Bob in the back.
Bob Parker, ESPN. You talked about, you know, start having to start and park and everything, and made me realize that you got a lot of benefit from the ability to start and park, and that really there is no more ability to do that now. And yet now you're also able to take advantage of this charter system because I assume it funnels a little bit more money than it would have into your cars with this team than it would have in the past. So I'm curious, how do you balance, or I was curious what you think about kind of the system the way it is now and the fact that maybe it may have been more difficult for you to get here, but now that you're here, it may make things, or maybe give your team a little bit more potential.
Yeah, I've never really thought about it like that. You know, the opportunity for me to start and park was great for my career as far as being able to stay in the sport and still get experience and spend time. So I agree with you. You know, had that not been in play, I'm not sure I would be here. But I also think about there's probably 4 or 5 cars that are in the race today that have a charter that are running full distance but are operating on similar budgets as we did to start and park. So the difference is we had to go all out to make a race. You remember when there was 45 cars or 50 cars trying to make a race, you didn't cut any corners. You had the best engine you had. You bought full allotment of tires for practice, you know, 6 sets. You're in Q runs, the best radiators, the best everything you could have just to make the race. So we spent a lot of our money just to make the race then. Now, because you don't have to do that, I feel like 5 years ago, I'd just be in one of those cars doing that. So I think there are guys getting that same kind of experience. You know, Ross Chastain last week, guys like that, where they're getting to run the full distance, where I wasn't able to do that. But I was able to qualify a car really fast because it had, you know, all the cool parts on it that only had to go 2 laps. So, yeah.
Unless we have anything else. All right, Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.